here. Well, good evening, everybody. I want to greet you in Jesus' name tonight. It's good to be with you. It was a long journey from where I was to where I am right now in many ways. But it's good to be with you here tonight. This church, actually, I was in this building as a teenager singing with SMBI, Sharon Mennonite Bible Institute. So I do remember this place. It's very unique. I also remember this as, this is where Brother Lee Mumal was from, right? And Brother Lee, he always had that twinkle in his eye. Yeah, he was always just the nicest guy. Anybody here related to him? No relatives, huh? Okay. Well, he would look at you, Brother Ted, would you like to take over this camp? I think you can do a great job. Yeah, you know, that was Keystone Camp years and years ago. And so I think I might have interacted with some of you folks through Keystone Camp at some point or other. But anyway, we are here this evening to share a message with you about social media. Is social media making us unsociable? Now, there is not a simple answer to that. You cannot say yes. You could say yes. And you can't just flat say no, because, you know, there's probably truth on both sides. Very likely it is making us unsociable. And in other ways, maybe it is increasing our sociability, making us more sociable. I don't know. That's for everybody to determine that for themselves, I guess. But I am not the most tech-savvy person, all right? I do make use of a little bit of social media, a little bit of computer use, but it's the kind of thing that you use out of necessity. And let's just get the job done and get out of here and do something, okay? I'm a do-something person. I'm not a look-at-something person, and I'm not a, you know, watch other people do something. I'd rather be doing it myself, you know. So anyway, everybody has different aspirations in life, and so I don't know how this is going to speak to you tonight, but I thought myself to be very unqualified and inadequate. You're never supposed to say that when you're the speaker. You're supposed to act like you are the authority on all subjects. But I am not the authority on this subject. But I will not say that I'm not qualified, because the guy that asked me to do this, his name was Brother John Reeser. Brother John said, let me see now. He said, I think you have a social media site, don't you? I said, yeah. And and some of your people probably use social media. I said, yeah. Okay, well then you, you are qualified to speak on this subject. So anyway, this question seems as though it would be a very relevant question. But perhaps I'm thinking this evening that maybe this issue, the issue of social media, is the tip of a bigger problem under the surface, all right? And that is our use of technology in general. And we're going to get to that a little bit at the end of this message this evening. But we're going to, first of all, take a look at social media. Now, if you expected the speaker to come down here tonight and just pound the... I don't have a very good place to pound my fist on, and it makes a bad noise when I do. But, and say, it's all wrong, and you've got to shut this stuff all down, you've got to get out of this stuff. Maybe that's what you expected. Well, that's not what's going to happen. So, but it is not all bad, all right? There are some legitimate and useful purposes for social media. Now, anything that has to do with sociability, as our brother was talking, we are sociable, social beings. It is about relationships, and it connects people, all right? Now, there are interests that people have that they can find connections to on social media. I am very interested in growing fruit, okay? I'm a fruit grower. And so you can connect with people that grow fruit on social media. Sometimes there is, and I think I'll bring this up later, but medical issues. This young man that was talked about, but, you know, there are medical issues people have. People want to know how they're doing. There is connections you can get online with Caring Bridge and such that really can help to share information very effectively. So anyway, they bring people together in relationships where there's a common interest or common goals. So we have youth groups on social media, okay? Maybe not yours, but there are youth groups there, probably yours too. Community groups, interest groups, friendships, And it just goes on and on. There's all kinds of different interactions that we can enjoy on social media. It is an efficient way to communicate information to many people at the same time, and it is communicated to them when they want to get it. Okay, it's available. And sometimes, depending on if you have one of these smartphones in your pocket, well, then it pops right up, and there you have it immediately, instantly. So the information is being sent out very efficiently and effectively. And that is particularly helpful in medical emergencies, conditions of people, their progress. It can also be an effective tool of business in communicating with customers and clients. Maybe you have some experience with that as well. In many cases, it is more effective than a telephone. Okay, if you call people on the telephone, unless you have a one call, which we have at Fairview, we have a couple different one call services. But a one call, you know, you can call all these people all in one shot. But generally, if you're calling people, it's not very efficient. It's just, you plug away, you slug away on the phone. And, you know, you can remember the old days when you used to do that. You call person after person after person. Okay, maybe you had a phone chain at one point. You ever have a phone chain here? Well, we had a phone chain at Fairview for years. And it was just, you know, whisper down the lane almost, you know. Somebody gets the right message, and the next person gets a half-right message, and the third person goes, well, you know, it diminishes in accuracy the further it goes, you know. So anyway, but now we have social media. So bang, everybody gets the right message, and everybody gets the same message, and it's very effective. And so, and also, of course, in the days before telephones, people had to send out mail. And maybe mail is still a good way of sending out information, but it is expensive. So anyway, how many of us here use social media? Do you use social media to some extent? Okay, well, I'm included with that. And so our brother already said that this topic is very relevant to us. So I will not ask you how much you use social media. I won't ask you how much, because that would be treading on some shaky ground there. But we're going to talk about several things here this evening. About social media, that is the negative aspects. We talked about the positive. We kind of put them in a nutshell. But there's a number of things about social media that we can look at and say, well, you know, there's some danger there. There is a problem there. And there's something that we need to be aware of and try to avoid in all of that. So we have several points tonight. We'll start with number one. Is that a good place to start? Okay, we're going to start with number one tonight. And that is that social media can arouse discontent and competition. Discontent and competition. Social media is a filtered portrayal of a person's life. Let's say you ladies, you want to show everybody what you do in the kitchen. And so you burnt supper tonight. Okay, you burned it. It was black on the top. And everybody scraped off the top and ate what was underneath. Okay, took a picture of it, right? And you send it out to all your friends. Say, this is a wonderful supper we had tonight. That's not usually the way it is, right? Your garden is full of weeds. They're higher than the bean plants. Okay, you got beans here. And right next to it, you got weeds that are this high. The beans are hiding down between the weeds. And so, hey, in my garden, take a picture. Send it out on Facebook. Let everybody see how beautiful my garden is. And everybody says, they don't like it. I don't like. Anyway, generally what people will do is they will take their most perfect moment of life, the perfect supper they made, and the candlelight, and the decorations, and they'll take a picture and put it on their social media, and everybody's like, wow, that lady is amazing. Look what she can do. Wow. Her husband is the most blessed man in the world. Okay? That's what we do, right? That's what we do in social media. We don't give the honest portrayal, but we give the filtered portrayal, making it look like everything about us is top of the line. Okay? People don't usually put their mistakes on. They don't usually put the bad things on. When they do something awesome, they put a video on showing how awesome they are. And everybody's supposed to say, you are awesome. You are amazing. And so that is the portrayal that people put on their social media. Now, what does that do? Well, that makes everybody else look at that and say, wow, I just wish I had a life as good as their life. I just wish I had things that are as nice as their things. I wish my family would do things that are as exciting as their family. And guess what's happening? We're becoming discontent because we are seeing the filtered portrayal of the other people, and we're not seeing that they were fighting on the trip. We didn't see that everybody, you know, made bad faces when they ate the food. Or we don't see that. We just see that everything is just perfect in their lives. And so, therefore, it creates discontent within people seeing that. All right, 2 Corinthians 10:12 says this. It says, for we dare not. This is something you dare not do, okay? The Bible's telling us, you dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. That's what people are doing on their social media. They're commending themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Okay? And so our approach to life is not comparing. We're not to be comparing ourselves with other people. In fact, one of the lamest reasons that people give why it's okay for me to do the things I do is because I don't do things as bad as they do. Okay, is that a good standard for life? This isn't perfect, but it's better than them. Well, that's not God's standard. God's standard is not that you be better than them. God's standard is that you be holy and that you be like Him. Okay, that's God's standard for His people. And so we don't want to compare ourselves among ourselves. And so does God value the same things we do? I believe He does not often value the same things we do. You know, you can have a bad supper, ladies, and you can have a weedy garden, and you can have things that are out of order in your life, and yet God doesn't look at all that, all the peripherals of your life, and say, well, you know what, you're not measuring up too good. You're not really performing well in these areas. I'm not real pleased with you right now. You know what God is looking for to be pleased with you in your life with Him? He's looking down into your heart. These other things are peripheral things. They're externals. They're outside. But God looks down into our hearts and into our minds, and that is where God finds or God approves or disapproves of who we are. And so does God value the same thing everybody else does? Probably not. And so how does God look at this false and filtered portrayal of ourselves? What are we trying to accomplish? Are we feeding our pride and our vanity? I think oftentimes people are doing that. Are we unwittingly stirring up envy and jealousy and discontent in other people? And so social media can become an endless source of peer pressure. Okay? Peer pressure. We need to be careful with that. All right? Social media, number two this evening. Social media, number two. Are you ready? Tends to be self-aggrandizing. All right, that's a long word. Self-aggrandizing, okay? Makes yourself look really big. It is focused on self. Now, we had a gentleman several years ago, came to our church. His name was Delvin Martin. He was a minister at Faith Fellowship. Anyway, he preached a sermon. His sermon title was, Are You a Selfie or a Survey? Okay? In other words, are you just stuck on yourself or are you focused on others? All right? Now, we live in the selfie world, okay? Everybody likes to, you know, stand there with a famous person and take their picture. They stand there with in a beautiful setting where a beautiful valley or a lovely scenery or a high mountain or whatever, they take their picture. You know, they want everybody to see where they've been, who they've been with, you know? It's all about selfies. Well, social media tends to be focused on self. It is the communication that my life is important. You got to look at me. You got to see what I do. You got to listen to what I say. You got to read what I wrote. Me. It's focused on self many times. You need to see what I am up to. My opinion matters. I want to be seen. I want to be noticed. And I want you to to hit the like button every time I put something up, okay? We want to be liked. And I ask you this evening, is that a biblical mindset? I want people to notice me. I want to be heard. I want to be seen. I want to be liked. Is that a biblical mindset? Well, I think we realize that that's not a biblical mindset. Philippians 2:3 says this, let nothing. Now, how many things are allowed if it says nothing?
Zero.
Nothing means zero, exactly. No tolerance whatsoever. None, zero, zip. Okay, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Okay? That does not sound selfish. That does not sound self-centered. It sounds like our lives are to be about lifting up others and not ourselves. Okay? And so that is clear scripture that can guide us in using social media. You can be a blessing, okay? You can. You can lift others up. You can encourage them through social media. But it should not be used to promote ourselves. Number three this evening, social media creates a need or a craving for fickle approval of men. You know that the approval of men is very fickle. It's very shallow. And it's very changeable. It just does not, it's not a lasting feature. When one puts up a post on social media, he wants to know how it is received. Will it be seen? Will it be liked? Will anyone think that I am awesome? And so that is seeking the approval of men. 2 Corinthians 10:17-18 say this, but he that glorieth, let him glory in all the good things he can do. He that glorieth, let him glory in how athletic he is, or all his abilities, how good he can sing, or how fast he can run, or how good he plays basketball, or let him glory in all those things that he's good at. Is that what it says in the Bible? No, it doesn't say that. It says, 2 Corinthians 10:17-18, it said, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And so it does not matter if anyone likes you on Facebook. We seek God's approval, okay? We seek God's approval, and what people think doesn't matter all that much. That was number three. Number four this evening, social media is a black hole for our time. Now, I'm not going to debate tonight whether there is a black hole out there in outer space. Scientists will tell you there's black holes. There's a book over here about the universe. I saw that book sitting there and I thought, now I wonder what that says about the universe. I was hoping it says that God created the universe. I hope that's what that book says.
It does.
Okay, good. It says that. Okay, good. And that God is the awesome power and infinite intelligence behind all that. Okay? But as far as whether there be a black hole out there, I don't know. But a black hole is supposed to be something that once something gets in there, it will never come out again. Okay? And so social media can be a black hole for your time. In fact, anything you do is the disposal of the time involved in doing it. Okay? You are disposing of time while you are doing whatever you're doing, because you'll never get that time back again. How many people go on in life and they trifle away the hours? They just throw them away. And then someday they wake up in their mind and they wish they had all the time back that they wasted. You know, time is a valuable resource. You know, every one of us has a certain amount of money. And right now, I have one $20 bill in my wallet. That is not all the money I have in my life, thankfully. There's more in the bank. But you know what? Money is a limited resource. And when you spend it, how many of you have ever spent money for something and then, oh, I wish I had that money now so that I could put it to that? Never happened to you, huh? Probably did. It probably did. You know? And that is exactly the way time is. Time is a resource that we all have a limited amount of. and it is valuable, and it is precious, and it is very, very useful. But once we spend it, it's gone, okay? And you can never get it back again. And so how many people spend time sitting in front of their media device? Or they have their media device right here. And we live in a society that everyone needs to go to the chiropractor because their necks are always bent down. They can't hardly straighten their head out because their necks are always bent down looking at their little device held in their hands. Okay? All that time. All the time that we spend on those things is time that we will never retrieve. When it's gone, it's gone. And so we need to be aware of the use of our time. Well, the amount of time you can spend there is endless. It's nearly eternal, but we know it's not eternal. But it could almost be, at least for the rest of your life, you could spend your whole life there. You can use up hour after hour seeing who posted what. Or posting your own trivial materials. Now I'm going to go home tonight, and your folks are going to be left behind here, and you probably won't see me for another 10, 20, 30, whatever years. I don't know if you'll ever see me again. I don't know. But if this makes you angry tonight, well, okay, that's fine. But I'm going back to Reading when I'm done here. So anyway, posting your own trivial materials, do you ever wonder... I have wondered many times, who has time for this? Who has time for all this? Okay? Did you ever see a post and wonder how long did they have to look online to find that to post on their Facebook? How long did they spend? How many videos did they have to watch till they found the right one? How many articles did they have to read till they found the right one? How many pictures do they look like? There's the one. I tell you what, I've often wondered who has time for all that. You might wonder, do they ever get anything else done in life? And as we said earlier, God has given us a limited yet generous resource of time. It's up to us to decide how we are going to use it. Romans 13:11. Romans 13:11 says this, and that knowing the time, do you know the time tonight, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So tonight, do we know the time? The time is soon coming. If you read the book of Revelation, which I suggest you do because it says, blessed is he that readeth the words of this book, okay? And so, in the book of Revelation, you find a place in there where God says, time shall be no more. And so the day is coming that time will be no more. Okay? That's either going to be by his design, and he says, this is it. Time is done. Or for every one of us, it may be that our time will be no more when they lay us in a coffin and we get put in the ground. Okay? For us, time will be no more. Okay? And so the time is coming when time will be no more. And so we need to recognize that and use our time that we do have in the right way. Ephesians 5:15 and 16, it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Now you probably all know what that means. But circumspectly simply means that you are looking around. You are being observant. You are watching. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the next verse says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so we are told here to seize the moment. We are encouraged in this to harness the opportunities that we have. To make best use of your resources. And do what you ought to do and not so much what you want to do. Now, I don't know if there's a difference in your life between those two or not. Maybe they're one and the same. But the things that you ought to do often are not the same as the things you want to do. But you know, we as God's people, we can't afford to spend our lives doing what we want to do, because God has given us many, many things that we ought to be doing. Okay, so we want to use our time wisely. So that is the end of point four. How about point number five? Five says that social media can be a subtle endorsement of questionable things. Now, I don't know if you understood what I just said, but it can be a subtle endorsement of questionable things. Now, what that means is, maybe it means something different to you than it means to me, but it means that I have friends that I appreciate and I respect, and they will put things up on their social media. I'm thinking, why are they doing that? That's not something I would read. That's not something I would watch. That's not something I would listen to. But because they put it up, it must be good. And so what happens is I allow things perhaps into my life that I might not otherwise. I might not listen to it or read it or look at it, except for the fact that they put it on. And so it is the endorsement of questionable materials, perhaps. You know what the standard of the Christian is, right? You know what the standard is? You must always ask yourself the question. Okay, this is facetious, okay? What's wrong with it? Everything. You know that's not true, right? That's not the standard for the Christian life. Many young people. May I say that about young people? Many young people say to their parents, well, Dad, what's wrong with it? And sometimes people in the church say, well, to the preacher, well, what's wrong with it? And you know what? Wrong question. That's the wrong question. Because what's wrong with it is not the standard of the Christian life. The standard of the Christian life is holy. God is a holy God, and He calls His people to be holy people. And so, if there is some kind of questionable media coming through, such as music, such as a video, such as a movie, such as some reading material, whatever it is, the question is not what's wrong with it. The question is it holy or not? Is it holy is the right question to ask. Is it holy? And if it's holy, guess what? It is for you. If it isn't holy, it's not. Okay? That is a standard. That's what God calls us to. And I tell you what, I'll say something else that one of my quotations, that a holy man is a happy man. You want to be a happy person, you need to be a holy person. Because God created us to find the greatest fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy in life as holy people. That's where we find our greatest joy. Anything else is going to be pollution. Anything else is going to be corruption. Anything else is going to leave us guilty and defiled. But when we're holy, then we can be truly happy, contented in our hearts, because we are what God intends us and created us to be. All right, so holy is the question. Is it holy? A verse here, Romans 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil. That means you can't stand it. You deplore it. You will not have it. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Number six, social media has created or creates the in and the out mentality. Okay? There's those that are in because they have it, and there's those that are out because they don't. I tell you, is that how it is in the church of Jesus Christ? In the church, are there people who are in and there are people who are out because some people got the social media, some people don't? Is that how it works? I tell you, I don't know how it is at the Goshen Mennonite Church. I don't know how it is here. But at Fairview, we have the Fairview Ladies Group. We have FMC, Buy and Sell. We have the Youth Group. These all have Facebook pages, okay? And so you basically go there. The lady has the baby. Talked about babies? I'll tell you what. Pray for the babies, okay? I don't know who requested prayer for the babies, but, you know, it's not a sure thing. Babies are not a sure thing. My daughter had a baby. Her baby was 24 weeks when he was born. And it was no sure thing. That little boy, he's a miracle boy today, but it didn't look like any miracle boy when he was born. And we just had two ladies in our church just in the last week. Two ladies had miscarriages in our church this week. Okay, so pray for the babies. Pray for the mothers. Pray for the fathers. Very relevant prayer request. But we got social media. We have the Fairview Ladies Group, okay? What about the ladies that don't got it? Okay, we have old, you might know Jay Fox, Jay and Norma Fox. You know them? Anyway, they're the senior retired pastor and his wife. They not only don't have social media, they don't even have a computer. They don't even have email. I mean, talk about being out of the loop. And everything is supposed to be coming through here. You know, this is where the ladies get their meals for their babies. This is where the youth group finds out about their activities. And what if my son does not have a smartphone? His dad doesn't either. Okay, this isn't smart, by the way. Maybe it's because I'm not smart. But what about the people that don't have it? My son, poor Sam, missed out on a youth group activity because he didn't have the right technology. They said, let's get together and have a gym night. And Sam didn't know about it. Everybody came in the house and said, Sam, why aren't you going to the gym night? He said, what gym night? Well, they're having a gym night tonight. Okay. So he ran upstairs and got ready real quick. But it wasn't because he got the message from the source everybody else got it. He got it from his sister who came running in the house and saying, did you get them? Aren't you going? I'm going to the gym night. So what I'm saying is there are people that are in and there are people that are out. And you know, in the Church of Jesus Christ, nobody should ever be out. And for some reason, social media seems to make an in and an out crowd, which is really quite sad and tragic. Some got it, some don't. Since when do we require people to be on social media to be included in the life of the church or the fellowship? And this evening, there are good, sound reasons for people to say no to that stuff. There are good reasons to say no to it. And we shouldn't exclude them from our information sharing in our churches simply because they don't have the right technology. Members of Christ, we are members of the body of Christ together. Romans 12, 4 and 5, for as many as we have, it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So we're not to be dependent. Let's not be dependent on social media in our church life. Okay? Number 7, social media tends to replace real relationships with virtual, vicarious, imagined, simulated relationships. Now I sure hope tonight, maybe I should turn around to say all this, but I sure hope tonight that this does not describe you. But probably all of you have at least seen this, that you see people all together in the same place, but none of them are relating to each other. Do you ever see that? Do you ever go into the Cracker Barrel like I did with my wife a few weeks ago? We went in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. Great time to go to Cracker Barrel. You won't fight the crowd. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But we walked in there with, like, I'll give another example. We had our family out for dinner probably about a year ago now. We don't go out very often, by the way. But we walked in the restaurant, and here all these tables are, there's people around these tables. There's actually couples sitting across from each other. And they're all on their own little handheld device. They are not even relating to each other. They are not talking to each other. They're not looking at each other. They're not relating to each other. They're relating to something or somebody, perhaps thousands of miles away, and they're neglecting those that are right there. Okay? That ought not be. We are people that live with people. We don't live with simulated or imagined people. We live with the real people. And so, please relate to the real people in your life. What happens is people neglect those in their immediate presence. Well, I would like to suggest tonight that one real relationship with a real person is worth more than 1,000 faraway simulated virtual relationships. And so I want to encourage us to focus on the here and the now. I'm very grateful to see tonight that you folks are not sitting there looking at your phones while I'm here talking to you. What a blessing. I tell you, I gave this talk at the first church I was at, and there was benches of youth. I mean, it was a big church. Bench of girls over here, bench of boys, two benches of girls, two benches of boys, both sides of the church. And after the message was over, we said the last amen. Guess what happened? It was like instant. It was like automatic. It was like they were a machine. It was like somebody pushed a button. Boom! Out came the device. Almost as soon as church was over. And guess what? None of them came to talk to me afterwards. The only people that talked to me were the old people.
Yeah, you know, you had a lot of good things to say tonight. This is a really, really relevant sermon. Yeah, that's good stuff. We need that, you know.
But the young people, they were like, let's get out of here, you know. Okay? So anyway, thank you for not being sitting around on your handheld devices tonight while we're talking about this subject. Appreciate that a lot. So let's go to number 8 here. Social media can easily become a distraction, and I should have the word addiction there. I don't have the word addiction there. I need to add that one. It can become a distraction and an addiction. There are people who are actually addicted to social media. They can't tear themselves away from it. But it becomes a distraction. I guess it's obvious after looking at the other items we considered, it becomes a distraction. We may easily neglect important items. Do you ever neglect your personal devotions? How about your prayer time? How about family worship? Sorry, family, we're not going to worship tonight. I'm busy on Facebook. Oh, bad show. Shouldn't be. But these things are possible. Family interactions. Son, don't bother me right now. Don't bother me. I'm interacting with people that are thousands of miles away. Really? When your son is right there in the room with you, your daughters, your wife, your husband. So anyway, social media easily becomes a distraction. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the broader area of technology just for a few minutes. But, you know, our spiritual ancestors, we're talking about people like Conrad Grebel and Felix Mons and George Blaurock, and maybe you don't know who they are, but they are sort of the original Anabaptists, people who came out of the Catholic Church and Protestant Reformations and said, you know what, we are going to take this Bible. We are going to believe it as literally as possible, and we are going to live it out. Okay, they were really stepping out in their day. In fact, they all died for it. Okay, you don't have to die for it. You live in a land of freedom. You can take this Bible, you can believe it, and you can live it out, and there'll be no consequence. You will not lose your head. You will not be thrown in prison. At least most likely not. Maybe days are coming that will happen. But these men stepped out, and I tell you, it was a bloodbath, basically, from then on. The people, the Anabaptists, were a sought out and destroyed people. And so nearly 500 years ago, we just celebrated the beginning of the Reformation not too long ago, but nearly 500 years ago, a few men committed themselves to living for Jesus Christ by obedience to his explicit word, rejecting the religious status quo of the day, choosing to endanger their lives for the vision of living out the word of God directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And throughout the following centuries, their spiritual children were consigned to chains, dungeons, fire, sword, unfathomable torture, which we don't even want to talk about. I don't know if you're in touch with the Voice of the Martyrs or not, but they're putting a movie out. The movie is Tortured for Christ. This is the life story of Richard Wurmbrand. And you know what? In that movie, I'm sure there's going to be violence. There's going to be beating. There's going to be screaming and yelling. And I can hardly hack that stuff. I can hardly stand it. I would love to support the movie, but I don't think I'd have to turn my head to, because I. But the things that these poor people had to endure were just unthinkable. And so we're here today yet. Our forebears said, we are going to make the sacrifice. We will lay down our lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will lay down our lives for the spiritual well-being and welfare of those who are following after us. They were willing to pay the ultimate price so that you and I would have a vibrant and a living faith to receive in our generation. Now, they survived all of that torture and all of that pressure. Now, I have a question for us. I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that if anything is ever going to undo us, it is going to be the subtle influence that our technology is having on us. Okay? We are changing. We are different people than we were 50 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. We are different. And it's because of the influence of technology on our lives. My daughter, she was in Thailand. She was at IGO. And she reports about what young people do. Young people today, they are just really, really stuck on technology. Okay? They're really stuck on it. And I think it's really stealing a lot of important things from us. We have survived. Our forebears have survived dungeon, fire, and sword. But are we going to be able to survive our laptops? Are we going to be able to survive our tablets, our iPads, our iPhones, our smartphones, and the like? Are we going to be able to survive that? Or is this stuff going to take us down? Is it going to rob us of our faith? Is it going to distract us from serving God faithfully? Is it going to have an adverse effect on our spiritual life so that we lose out in our walk with God? Well, these things are dragging us down, I can tell you that for sure. Robbing us of our productivity, disengaging us from reality, and distracting us from thinking. Tempting us like we have never been tempted before. I don't know if I should read this to you because our time is up. But Ephesians 6:10-16, I will read it and make a few comments, and then I will close. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the area of technology, in the area of social media, in the area of temptations that we face and pressures that are on us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, the wicked one is firing darts like never before. You know where they come from? Many of the fiery darts that the wicked one is firing today come right out of the handheld device right here. That is where his darts are coming from. You know, this device, the smartphone, the iPhone, the take-with-you-everywhere phone, can go into the most secret location that a man ever goes. It can go with people behind locked doors, behind closed doors, and there's no accountability there. Okay, and that is what makes it so dangerous. It is a device that goes into the most secret places that a person goes. And the devil can fire his darts very effectively out of that device. And so, this evening, a few closing thoughts. We have our noses stuck in our devices when there is a beautiful sunset to see. Did you ever see that? You see a beautiful sunset and you see somebody walking around like this, okay? We have buds in our ears with spaghetti attached. When there are birds singing around us, the birds are singing, tweet, 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 and we're missing it. We're missing it because something else is going into our ears. We're on social media when our wife, husband, children need our attention. We're watching others live. Hey, check out this YouTube video. Look at the neat things they did. Oh, I never do anything neat. Okay. Well, we watch others live while we miss out on life ourselves. We are entertaining ourselves with sports, movies, while neglecting church and our own spiritual nurture, wasting time when we should be producing and doing something. Maybe you need to take back your life from your media devices and start living in the real. You know what? There's one solution to all this. The one solution is to take every media device you have and throw it on the floor and stomp on it. No, that's not it. No. Wrong words, okay. The one solution is this, that you take all your media devices along with yourself and lay it all out before God. Say, God, you see this computer? That is your computer. You see this smartphone here, God? See this? It's yours. You see this mind here? It's yours. You see this heart here? It's yours. You see this body here from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet? It is yours. And so therefore, all of these things are going to be only used to bring you praise and glory. So all my devices, all my media devices, they are only to be used to bring God honor and praise, to glorify Him, along with my own self. And so if that is my mentality, and if that is my understanding of my own self, as well as all my possessions, the questions are answered. That answers the questions. This is going to be used for the building of God's kingdom and to bring Him glory. And if that is your goal in life, it's all good. It's all going to work out well. But if it isn't your goal in life, you'll face a lot of temptations, a lot of testing, a lot of stress, a lot of difficulty. And so this evening, brothers and sisters at Goshen, I drove 3 hours to give you that message tonight. And I hope it was worth something. Okay? And so give yourself and all of your things to God and use them for His glory. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for this message. We thank You for Your great love. We thank You for Your great power. We thank You for Your greatness as our God. We thank You that You are the creator of everything. And everything, Lord, as Your creation belongs to You. So we recognize this evening even our media devices that we have paid for with what we would consider our money. Lord, we recognize that they are made out of the elements of Your earth, and they are Your atoms, they're Your molecules, they're Your substances, and so, Father, they belong to You. And Lord, we recognize that You're the creator of each one of us, and Lord, as Your creation, we also belong to You. And so, Father, I pray that we would have the mentality and the understanding this evening that all that we have and all that we are is to bring praise and glory and honor to our great God, who is the giver and the creator of all things. So, Father, I pray that You'll give us wisdom as we think about life and as we think about technology, as we think about social media. Father, give us wisdom to use these things in a way that will build Your kingdom and glorify Your name. We praise You and bless You for Your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.